to Psalm 25 now. Psalm 25. Entitled this message, A Psalm for Seekers. A Psalm for Seekers. Sincere seekers of the Lord and His truth. All right, look at it. Verse 1. Let's jump right in. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee. This is the cry of someone who is appealing to God, not man. He's looking for answers from God. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul from the depths of his being, from his heart. This is no casual seeker, no part-time seeker. This is a man who's seeking God and answers from God from his heart. He's got to know something, or rather someone. From the depths of his heart. Oh, and he said, my soul. I lift up my soul. And our Lord said, now if you seek me, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Very few real seekers today. But there's the promise. Those that do, they'll find. They'll be taught. Look at verse 2. Oh my God. Oh, my God. My God. David saying here, you are my God. You're the Creator. I'm the creature. That's why I'm appealing to you. You're the judge of all the earth. I'm a subject. That's why I'm appealing to you. You're my God. You've determined all things. That's why I'm appealing to you. You're my God. I don't see how people can, or why people bother believing or talking about a God who's not God. He can't help anybody, this God who's done all he can do, and now it's up to you. Why would you even bother? Well, David says, now my God is in the heavens. He's done whatever he pleases. And that's who David's appealing to. My God. You're my God. And I need to know something. I'm lifting up my heart to you. Reckon the Lord's going to answer you? My God. Verse 2. I trust in Thee. What does it mean to trust in God? It means to believe God. God is God. Everything He says is right. Everything He does is right. And I'm going to repeat myself so many times here. Not myself. I'm going to repeat God. But Moses said, shall not the judge of the earth do right? Yes, every time. Every time, in every situation concerning everything and everyone, He does what's right because He's God. I trust in Thee. That's what David's saying. I trust that all you say is right and all you do is good and right. I believe You're God. But now he says, verse 2, let me not be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed of myself for not trusting You. Let me not be ashamed of You. Let me not be ashamed of the truth before anyone, or apologize for it, or act in such a manner as to deny it. You are my God. Let me act like it. I trust You. Don't let me be ashamed. Don't let me bring You shame. I trust in You. He says, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Enemies, oh, there are many. They surround me. I'm beset behind and before the enemy. Enemies without and enemies within. That's the worst one within. My own self, my own unbelief. Don't let it triumph over me. Let me overcome. How? He that believeth overcome. Verse 3. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Oh, there's so much said in the Scriptures about waiting on the Lord. Can you think of anything that's taught more in the Scriptures than that right there? Wait. Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. That's an apt description of all of God's people. They wait. He's God, so they have to wait. He's God. He's doing all things. He's controlling all things. He's decreed all things. So all they just have to wait. And be still and know. Well, don't let me... Let me be still and know that you're God. Don't let me be ashamed. Well, let me bring shame. Let me wait. Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. I'll let them be ashamed that transgress without cause. Now, what a description that is of this world that we live in. It's got so much to say about God. All blasphemy. And so much to say against the God that we preach. The truth. Huh? The world ought to be ashamed of what it's saying about God. All that they're saying about God, the standard is no shame. There's no shame before their faces. This thing's getting worse, people. This thing's getting more and more blasphemous. The world ought to be ashamed to take the name of God on their lips. And especially to do it as they abuse His name, His character, His Son, as they do His gospel. They ought to be ashamed. They do it without cause. Don't let me be ashamed. You know, they make us feel ashamed for believing God. You know what? Believers declare the God who is God and just declare what God has said in His Word, and the world makes you feel ashamed for doing it. Don't let me be ashamed. Huh? I'm just trying to say what God said. We're just trying to honor God. We're just trying to be true to God's Word. We're just trying to bring all glory to God. Let the world be ashamed. They're the ones bringing His glory down. They're the ones that are diminishing the work of Christ, His Son. They're the ones that are making nothing of Christ's love, of God's mercy, of God's grace. They're the ones that are trodden underfoot the blood of the Son of God. Don't let me be ashamed. Let them be ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I am ashamed, Steve, that the fact that I'm ashamed too often. They're the ones that ought to be ashamed of what they're saying about God, what the way they're abusing this book. All we want to do, all believers want to do, is just say what God said. I remember one time a preacher was just in an article in the newspaper, just quoted the Word of God. Just quoted the Word of God. He didn't interpret it. He didn't say anything about it. He just quoted the Word of God. And somebody wrote a letter to the editor and said, "You're abusing God's Word. How could you misuse God's Word like that?" Instead, he didn't say anything. He just quoted it. Let them be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed. Let none be ashamed that wait on God. Now look at verse 4. Verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Show me thy ways. Teach me thy paths. Show me thy ways and teach me thy paths. Now, God has said this over and over again. My ways are not your ways. Didn't it? In Psalm 50, he says, "Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself." He says that to all mankind. You thought I was just like a man. I'm not. God doesn't think like a man. God doesn't act like a man. God doesn't react. God never reacts. You know that? God's not like a man. Things happen and God reacts. No, God never reacts. He never reacts. All things happen because God has already acted, because God has already decreed. God's ways are not our ways. God's ways is the opposite of man's way. Write it down. Whatever way this world is headed, whatever way that the majority of this world is headed is wrong. It's wrong. Our Lord said that. It's a broad road, broad way. And many go in. Whatever the world believes, whatever the world is thinking, whatever most people think about God is wrong. Understand that? That's what God said. My ways are not. So, but teach me. Now here's the secret. Here's the true seeker of God. Like David, a man after God's own heart. He says, "Teach me thy ways." I'm not interested in what the world is saying. I'm not interested in the way the world is going. I want to know your way. I don't want to know your plans. Well, God's ways are not our ways and His path. God's providence is mysterious. God doesn't work like we... God doesn't do anything like we would do it. God doesn't operate according to reason. Our reason. God's ways are mysterious. Job said this. Job. What did Job go through? Well, Job said this. Can a man by searching find out God? No, he says, I'm trying. Until God said, sit down, Job, and shut up. Now listen. And he taught him his ways, didn't they? All his brethren sat around and they all started trying to figure out God, didn't they? And God said, fools they all are. Even you, Job. Now if you'll listen, I'll teach you. My ways are not your ways. I don't do things the way you think I ought to do them. No. God's not like a man. Listen to the ways of God. Listen to the ways of God. Strange they are. God says, the way up is down. He said, the abased will be exalted. He says, you won't live till you die. To die is to live, he said. He said, to be poor is to be rich. He said, to be, if you're totally empty, you'll be full. He says, if you know nothing, if you say, I don't know anything, you'll know everything. He says, if you'll be like a child, you'll be mature. Oh, God's ways. God's ways are mysterious. Teach me. That's just not the way I think. So teach me thy way. And thy paths, God's paths are unknown to us. We walk this way. And we walk over here and this happens and that happens. Circumstances. How is this going to... There's an old saying, all roads lead to Rome. All the paths of God are in righteousness, it said. Everything God does concerning His people, all the paths of every step they take is going to bring them to Jesus Christ.
I don't understand how.
Just wait. You ever seen these mazes? You ever look down? You get to see one of these mazes, you know? You got start, you got finish. Huh?
Well, here we go.
We're running the rat race. And if left up to us, we run into a wall, don't we? We go this way, we go that way, but
it's not left up to us. Seems like a roundabout way to me. That's not the way I'd have done it, but that's the way God did it. And that path will lead to His purpose in bringing you to Christ. Count on it. He's God. Read on. He said, "Now show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths." Verse 5. Lead me in thy truth. Lead me by thy truth. In thy truth. Christ said, "Thy word is truth." Lord, lead me in thy word. Teach me. There are no answers. I mean no answers. This life, nothing in it makes sense. And the only sense you can make of anything is found from God's word. God's truth. Lead me in thy truth. Lead me to it. When I'm perplexed, when I lead me to it, the truth will set you free from worry, from fear and despondency, from the truth. Lead me in thy truth. Lead me in thy truth. Look at this. I like this. Thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Right, here's the heart, the soul, the key of this whole book. This is the rock solid, this is the core, this is the heart of all peace and comfort and hope for a believer. Thou art the God of my salvation. So I'm just going to wait on you all day long. This is at the bottom of the truth. From the cradle to the grave, now God is a God of our salvation. Our salvation belongeth to God. We're kept, we're upheld, we're sustained, we're provided, we're led. By the God of our salvation. So David said, I'm just going to have to wait. Just going to have to wait. We must. We don't know what he's doing at any given time. We don't know what he's doing. And we don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? Except, now we know this. We know this. You know, he's the God of my salvation, David said. And on him I'm going to wait all the day long. And I don't know what a day may bring. And I don't know what's going on right now. I don't know why he's doing what he's doing. But I know why he's doing it all. Listen to him. Listen to Paul. Paul says, now, he has made known this to me. Oh, it's the mystery. It's called a mystery of his will. Now, here it is. In the fullness of time, he's going to gather together in work all things in Christ, both in heaven and in earth, even in Him. That's what she's all about. Now, I do know that, David said. Teach me that. Teach me that. He's my God. And his purpose to save me. And that's what this whole shooting match is all about. To bring me to Christ and someday present me faultless before his throne of glory with Christ. Today, tomorrow, the next day, someday. That's what it's all about. For the believer. For the seeker. So let me be employed about that. Show me your path. Teach me thy way. Lead me in thy truth.
Now look at what David says our greatest need is. Verse 6. Look at it. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness. Oh, they've been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Mercy, David says, is what I need. Loving kindness, that's an Old Testament word for grace. I need mercy. I need grace. I need you to pardon me, he said. I need you to remember me for goodness sake. Oh, for goodness sake, I need you to remember me. We're going to quit saying that after this message is over. God willing, I'm going to quit saying that. I've caught myself saying that. We're going to see what this for goodness sake is. But mercy, grace, and pardon is our greatest need. Oh, we need temporal things, don't we? Yes, we need temporal things. But David said, give us this day our daily bread. Give us today. But now, David said, our Lord told us to pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. But he says, now here's what you need to ask for. Forgive us. Forgive us. It's our greatest need. Forgive us. Have mercy upon us. Give me grace, the grace of salvation, the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Pardon me. Pardon me. Pardon me. Remember not the sins of my youth. Pardon my youthful sins. Pardon my present sins. And Lord, pardon my future sins. According to your mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake. Now, who is God going to look on in mercy and grace and pardon? Who's God going to have mercy upon? Huh? It's for goodness' sake. It's for his goodness' sake. Deborah, you remember over there in Exodus 33 where God says, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. Huh? I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. Who's the goodness of God? For his goodness' sake, he has mercy upon. His goodness? Huh? Goodness, good news. Gospel. Christ is the goodness of God. You see, Christ is the mercy of God. Christ is the pardon of God. Christ is the gospel of God. Christ is all our forgiveness. Not found in us. The goodness of God. God's going to have mercy on us for goodness sake. For Christ's sake. For Jonathan's sake, David said. Tell Mephibosheth, I don't need you. You can't add to me. But for Jonathan's sake, I'm going to have mercy on you. And God says the same thing to us beggars and lame people sitting at his table. I'm having mercy on you for goodness sake. For Christ's sake. What do I need with another beggar? Huh? Whole kingdom's full of beggars. But now there's a covenant. I'm getting ahead of myself. But it's for Jonathan's sake. It's for goodness sake. For Christ's sake. Our greatest need. Now look at verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. And he'll teach sinners in the way. Good. But the best thing, you know, you're talking about something's good, something's the best. God is good, yes. And the best thing about our God, the goodness of God, is his mercy and his grace. God's been good to me. Hasn't the Lord been good to you? Huh? Could not everybody in here say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefit. Don't do that. Don't forget. Who daily loadeth me with benefit. Can't everybody in here say that? How good God has been to us. Well, here's the greatest thing about God's goodness. The best thing is his mercy. His mercy. He's good. And the best thing about him is his mercy and his grace toward us. And upright. Upright, he's just and holy. And it says he'll teach sinners in the way.
He'll teach sinners the way. In the way. All the way. He'll put them in the way. He'll teach them the way, and he'll teach them all the way. What is this? What is the way? Show me thy ways, O Lord, but now teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Well, he said, I'll teach sinners the way. This is only one way. You all think your way is the only way. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because our way is Christ. Christ is the way. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Only one way to the Father. And that's for Christ to take you there, present you. Only one way to be righteous, and that's for Christ to give you His. Only one way to be accepted by God, and that's for Christ to say, accept Him. Only one way to be forgiven, and that's for Christ to say, Father, forgive Him. Huh? Only one way for all your sins to be forgotten by God is for Christ to say, they're under the blood. Only one way to get to God. And Christ said, I am the way. And who does He teach that to? Sinners. Sinners He'll teach in the way. Not righteous. Christ said, I didn't come to call the righteous. Well, I'll find a way. Didn't find it. I'll get there some way. Go then. There's a way that seems right to man, but it's destruction. It may seem good to men. Oh, he's walking the straight. Oh, is he now? But sinners now, they don't even know the way. Do they, John? Thomas said it. Mark, was it Thomas or Philip? Thomas, well, yeah. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know the way. Show us the way. Christ was leaving. And he said, we don't know the way. Don't leave us. We don't even know which way to turn. Christ said, I am the way. You don't know. You don't need to know which way to turn. Because I'm going to carry you. You ain't even walking. I never put you down for one moment. You don't need to know the way. You just need to know that I am the way. And I've got you. And whatever way we go is the right way. Because I know where we're going. And you're going to look back and say, oh, he brought me in a right path, a good way. This is exactly the way I'd have done it. But until then, we're in darkness. I don't know the way. Christ said, I'm the way. Trust me. The sinners, he'll teach that. The meek, see that? The meek, verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek, he'll teach his way. The meek, that's the humble. Oh, it's my favorite verse of Scripture. To this man will I look. Everybody wants to be looked at, don't they? No, look at me. Look what I've done. Everybody thinks God's going to take notice of them. Oh, look what I've done for you. There's even going to be some people standing before the judgment throne of God Almighty and say, well, we've done many wonderful works. And he's going to say, get out of my sight. But to this man will I look, he said. To this woman will I look. To this young person, he that is broken and of a contrite heart and trembleth at my word. I'm going to look. To this man will I look on him with mercy, with goodness.
Forgive me. Lord, forgive me for not being more touched by your word. Huh? Forgive me. He'll teach sinners. The meek will he guide in the way. Proud, self-conceited, knowledgeable people say, prove it, and I'll believe it. Show me. Show me. But he hides these things from the wise and prudent. And so they can't understand the simplest of things. From the professor in the seminary to the president in the throne, they don't understand. I don't understand how God can be sovereign and man. Well, I do. I do. From construction work, dishwashers, they understand. Mechanics, they can understand because God reveals it. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, the scripture said. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The meek he'll show. He'll teach his way. His way. Christ. And they'll see in Christ, oh, they'll see wisdom. Oh, they'll see wisdom. He'll teach them. Keep teaching them. Every day. And he won't teach them the way they think. You know, children... When have your children ever come up to you and said, well, I'm glad you did that how you did it. Stephen, as after you've spanked Joseph Aaron, did he ever come up to you and say, well, I'm glad you hit me 9 times and really made it hurt? And have you ever done that, Joseph? He said, boy, I tell you, that's exactly the way I'd have done it. No way. No way. You know, why is he hitting me? And dad says, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And that son says, come on now. That just isn't true. Yes, it is. But this is the only way, he said. And so he teaches us. He keeps teaching us. And it takes us a lifetime to learn. However long that may be. Whether it's, you know, David Brainerd died at 29 years. Oh, read some of David Brainerd. Sam, 29 years. David Brainerd, he understood. He understood. Somebody take, Spurgeon died at 58. Oh, he understood. But he teaches us all our lives. The meek will he teach his way. And here's what they learn, verse 10. Here's one of the things they learn beyond a shadow of a doubt. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. All the paths of the Lord are mercy. You remember what old Brother Barnard said? He died when he was 69. That seems young to me now. That seems very young to me now. Barnard said this. He said, everything this side of hell is mercy. And boy, that old man lived, oh man, that fella lived a hard life. His wife hated him. Everybody hated him. He said, but everything this side of hell is mercy. And where he got that? He got that from Psalm 25, verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy. Mercy. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Scripture said. Mercy. And truth. Now look at this. If you're seeking, look at this verse with me, okay? I hope the Lord will open this up to us right now. This is a key verse. Right in the middle. You see, God hides his nuggets. Gold nuggets are found down deep, and he's right in the middle, you know. This is key right here. There's a word in here that will open up all the scriptures. Right. You see it. Blessed are your eyes. There's a word in here that opened it all up. One word. Right smack in the middle. Right smack in the middle. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony. covenant. Covenant. All the paths of the Lord, we're going to see, are mercy and truth unto such that keep His covenant. His covenant. We sang it a while ago, didn't we? His oath, His covenant, His blood. It's going to support me. David said it. He lost his son. He said, although it be not so with my house, yet God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. It's all my salvation. All my salvation, John, is based on one word, covenant. And it's not by coincidence it begins with a C. Covenant. Ask Mephibosheth. Let's ask that fellow sitting up at David's table. Why are you here? Covenant. But surely you did something. Covenant. How long are you going to stay? Covenant. Well, surely he needs covenant. Covenant. See, God made a covenant before the world began. Some don't like this. God's people, this is their salvation. That God chose them before the world began and gave them to Jesus Christ, who came here to do everything to save them, and He did it. He saved them. Went back and now seated on the throne and is the head of the covenant, making sure that everything concerning them is ordered and sure and comes to pass to fulfill that covenant. He said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. And I'm going to present every one of them that are in that covenant of mine, that covenant of grace. I'm going to present them to the Father, all my children. Here they are. I'm the surety of the everlasting covenant. I'm of the tribe of Judah, you see. And they're going to make it because of this covenant. And such who keep, that word keep there doesn't mean do. You know what the word keep? And we've seen this many times. The word keep doesn't mean that I have a part in this covenant, that I'm supposed to keep part of the covenant, that God made an agreement with me and He keeps His part. There's some woman had a license plate the other day. I wish they'd outlaw those. But it said, true to Him. True to Him. Oh, are you now? That's not my hope. That's not the hope of a sinner, a hopeless, helpless sinner. You know what their hope is? The meek, the helpless sinners, is that He's going to be true to me. Oh, covenant and His testimony, His word, His covenant, His word, His promises. His covenant is a person. His testimonies are His promises fulfilled in that person. Got that? Taking notes? Take this down. His covenant is a person. It's all wrapped up in a person. What Christ agreed to do for us. His testimonies, that means I testify, I testify, I testify. All that come to me by Him, I'll receive them. That's His promises, He said. His covenant is person. His testimonies are His promises. And so to keep Him, that means to hang on to hold on to. That means to guard. Not willing to lose. Well, He'll teach them all the paths of the Lord. Mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant. Now, look at I got to hurry. Verse 11. Now here's the cry of a man after God's own heart. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. But David, and I believe David wrote this before his great sin with Bathsheba. David, you're a man after God's own heart. You're Christ-like, David. You're a good man. You're a righteous man, aren't you, David? No, I'm a great sinner. Pardon my iniquity. It's great. You see, great sinners need a great Savior. Great sinners need a sovereign Savior. Great sinners need a salvation that was determined before the world began and the end of it is determined too. Great sinners. People that know they're sinners by birth, by choice, and by practice, and all the days that they need a great Savior. They need a Jesus whose name means that. Savior. They need a Christ whose name means that, don't they? They need mercy that means that. They need salvation that means that. Saved. Great sinners. Ask Mary Magdalene. Ask her. Kind of salvation you need, Mary. I need a great one. I'm a great sinner. Pardon my iniquity, it's great, and to whom much is forgiven, they'll love much. Verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Here it is again. Those that fear the Lord, him shall he teach in the way. Those that fear God, the meek, the teachable, the true seeker, God will teach. Now look at this very closely. He will teach in the way that he shall choose. Now whose will choose? He's not talking about us. He's going to teach us in the way that God shall choose. Christ is the way, and we're chosen in Him. But that every way He puts us in and takes us is of His choosing. And this is what David said. David said, in the end, David said, the lions have fallen unto me in pleasant places. David said this, he said, you've chosen my inheritance for me. Do you read Scott's? Well, there's a statement that needs to be committed to memory. Not many things that men have said over the years that bear repeating, but that does. And he's just paraphrasing Romans 8:28, really. But Scott said, if you knew what God knew, no. Yes, knew. And no. You'd order your life just exactly like God has ordered it. Didn't change that. He knew. You believe that? David did. David said, you've chosen my inheritance for me. All right, here's Abraham and here's Lot. Okay, here's Abraham and here's Lot. Okay, y'all choose what, look out over the land. And y'all choose. There's the well-watered plains of Sodom. Oh, life will be good there. Oh, we'll all be just a valley. No trouble there. All well-watered, flowing with milk and honey. Peace, prosperity, riches, gain. Look at all this. Sodom. Oh, I'll take Sodom, Lot said. Abraham, here's what you get. You're going to wander in caves and mountains. And then when you get to be an old man, you're going to have one son. I'm going to take you up on a mountain. I'm going to tell you to kill him. That's not the way I would choose it after it's over, John. After Lot was just drug out of Sodom and that city was destroyed. And God said to Abraham, I am thy portion. You get me forever. And you get your son back too. And you get to see your grandsons and your grandson's sons. And your seed will never depart before my eye. My mercy will never depart from you. Now choose, Abraham. What way will you go?
I'll take the mountains in a minute. Yeah, I'll take the boy up there. This the end? Is that the end it's going to bring? Yeah. Lead me in the way. Give me the knife. I commit him to you.
His soul, verse 13 says, shall dwell at ease. And his seed shall inherit the earth. Whose seed? Christ's seed shall inherit the earth. People don't understand that in Matthew 5, do they? The meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. Why?
It's the wolves that have this earth, isn't it?
Huh? Isn't it the go-getters, those that are run roughshod over you? Don't they have the earth? Huh? Yeah, they do. Is one who has foundations. Foundation, whose builder and maker is God. His seed will inherit the new earth. No tears, no pain, no sin, no sin. Read on. And the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He'll show them, there it is again, his covenant. Then that fear him. You see how many times it says that? They fear him, that fear him, that fear him. He'll show them. He's going to teach them. Sinners that fear him. He'll show them his covenant. So David says in verse 15, well, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. Ever toward the Lord. Old John Newton said, when I look within, all is vain and black and wild. Can I deem myself his child? But God said, no, look unto me. When I look at him, I see mercy. I see grace. I see truth. I see forgiveness of sin. I see all my hope. When I look within out this world, I see trouble. I see trial. I see pain. I see suffering. I see look to the covenant. Look to Christ. I see hope. I see peace. I see an end. A sure end. A good end. Happily ever after him. Oh, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. He shall pluck my feet out of the net. I saw another. You know, this was a cute bumper sticker. It said, oh, what a worldwide web we weave. It's no coincidence that this thing was named Web the Net. But this whole thing, God has named this whole world and everything in it, and the pursuit of it, a web, a net that's gotten people's tangled. It's just absolutely, it's a web of deceit. A web of deceit. A net. Riches, pleasure, happiness, that is not here. It's not here. Why? Because Christ is not here. Why you look for him, the dead, a living among the dead? He's not here. Well, you look for happiness and peace and hope and help here and all your comfort. It's not here. Set your affection on things above where Christ sits at the right hand of God. There's my peace. Oh, in the world we have tribulation, but there's my peace forevermore. At thy right hands are pleasures forevermore. So one thing have I desired and that will I seek after, David said. Mine eyes are ever toward him. Can't find anything here. When I look at it and I lay hold on it, it's gone. Oh, lay hold on the covenant. Keep hold on that covenant. It's ordered. It's sure. It'll never leave you. Christ will never leave you. Read on. Turn unto me, verse 16, and have mercy upon me. Turn unto me and have mercy on me. Every single sinner that's ever said this, Christ turned.
Every single one. Listen to one of them. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Bring him to me. Huh? Bring him to me. Little fell up a tree. Looking. Come down. I'm coming to your house. Turn unto me. Have mercy on me. I'm desolate, afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain. And here's the worst pain of all my sins. Forgive all my sins. I have and I will. I've not only forgiven them, I've forgotten them, he says. The only thing God cannot do is remember your sins. One of the only things. Forgive all my sins. Verse 19, consider mine enemies. Oh, they're many. They're many. Even my friends will turn out to be my enemies sometimes. They hate me with cruel hatred. This world is cruel. Everything in it is cruel. It's cruel. It's cruel. Ah, but everything God does is right. It's right. It's right. It's mercy. It's truth. Verse 20, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. And here he comes right back where he started. Don't let me be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed. I put my trust in thee. For those that wait on the Lord now, he said, I'll never be put to shame. I put my trust in thee. Those that trust the Lord, he said, they'll live forever. Verse 21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. What's integrity and uprightness? Mine? Huh? Oh, no. Did David remain upright? Did David's integrity keep him? What is it? It's God's Word. It's God's goodness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's God's Word, Stan. It's His integrity and His uprightness. His Word will keep me upright. I wait on thee. Oh, verse 22, redeem me from the Lord. And all this trouble. Israel? Yeah. All Israel will be saved. Christ died for Israel, for Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. What's that? Well, teach me. Circumcision of the heart. Contrition of the heart. Meekness. Teach me thy way. Sinners, he'll teach in the way. All right, may the Lord make it so with us. John, do we have another hymn picked out?
Number 8.
Okay, come up and lead us in there. Yeah, this is good. This is real good. We haven't sung this before, I don't think. But the words are everything. It's the message. And this is sung to the tune of the doxology. Okay, let's sing all four verses, a short hymn. Let's sing.
All four verses. Number 8. Before him and rejoice.